Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about today's show. I'll be joined by Kate and Justin Watt, the principal and marketing manager of Watt Realty in Brisbane. Kate and Justin are going to share with us their background in the real estate industry. We're going to discuss the marketing initiatives that are helping build their brand, and how Watt Realty use content marketing to turn clients and prospects into loyal fans. But before we catch up with Kate and Justin, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
Now, most real estate businesses have a YouTube account, even if they haven't used it for a while. Well, this week I'd like to tell you about a relatively new player to the online video market that might get you inspired to revive your video marketing. It's a company called Wistia, W-I-S-T-I-A. Some of you may have heard of Wistia before, or some of you may be using Wistia. Well, we've been using YouTube for our own business and for our clients for quite a while. And this has mainly been because of the additional SEO benefits that YouTube provides, being a Google-owned company. But we've been trialing Wistia for some time now, and I have to say we're really pleased with not only the results, but the ease of use, the analytics, and the flexibility of how you can customize your videos online. For example, on our Steps website, we have a number of videos that are uploaded from Wistia, and we're able to change the color of the playing bar, even the play button. You can customize that to your branding. You can have a form overlay on top of your video to collect email addresses. And one that I quite like is the fact that you can embed your videos to be mobile responsive. So no matter what device someone is on, the video stays the same size and it doesn't put the little black lines at the top of your videos that can sometimes happen when you're viewing YouTube videos on mobile devices. So in comparison to YouTube, we found Wistia to be a little more user-friendly and a more intuitive and engaging interface. So if you're looking for a new, fresh way to engage your clients and prospects using video, you should certainly go and check Wistia out at wistia.com. And with that, let's transition over to this week's interview. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guests today, Kate and Justin Watt from Watt Realty, located in the northern suburbs of Brisbane. As husband and wife, Kate is the marketing manager and Justin the CEO of what they describe a real estate business where vision, energy and true passion turn ideas into action. Kate and Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
G'day, how are you going?
Very well. And I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you both personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Okay. So I've been in the area for, this is my 17th year. Basically, been selling real estate that whole time as a selling principal. And so I started my first real estate business about 10 years ago, or actually 11 years ago. And then that was a franchise, and then moved on to opening up the independent probably about 8 or 9 years ago. So, yeah, it's just coming up to 10 years probably on the independent side.
And how many staff have you got with you today, Jeff?
I think we roughly have about 25 or 26 staff total.
And Kate, what about yourself?
My background is actually in marketing advertising. I spent about 12 years in media agencies running some of the biggest brands in the country, from Suncorp to Campbell's Arnott's to DHL, Schick Energizer to Colgate. And then I switched over to work in media sales. I was the group sales manager at Channel 10 before I took a baby gap year, and then ended up at Watt Realty and kind of getting roped into doing marketing here.
And how have you found? I'm quite interested to know, how have you found the transition from more of a general business marketing role into the real estate industry? Obviously, they're transferable skills into any industry, but how have you found it in particular coming into the real estate industry?
I guess it's very different because it's your money. It's not a client's money. So I'm probably a lot more considered in the decisions that I make, and a lot more into measurable results. So, yeah.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll delve into some of your marketing initiatives throughout the interview, Kate, and get a bit of an insight from you on that regard. But Justin, can I start with you? For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with where you work and live, can you describe the area for our listeners, what the market has been like in recent years up to today, and the typical home that you would sell or manage?
Sure. So we're based logistically in Astley on the north side. It's very central north side. So for us, we sort of go 15 minutes in all directions. That's worked out really well for us. I mean, the majority of our clients are probably a lot of mums and dads, families. It's probably like a middle income bracket in terms of that. That's pretty much the demographic. The price ranges through here range from, you know, entry level stuff around the 300,000 right through to, you know, into the millions, and pretty much everything in between. You know, like we've got townhouses, units, like pretty much all kinds of stuff that you could think of, we pretty much have. It's I guess our median sale price is probably more between that 400 to 600 across most of our markets, just to give more context around exactly where the pricing is. That's pretty much the market. We sort of stretch across, you know, the majority of the north side, and we find that the sort of inner city but more suburban sort of bracket is probably, I don't know, seems to be for us a really good fit for what we're doing.
And for our listeners who aren't familiar with Brisbane, how far out of the CBD north are you?
So we're located, the actual office is located about 12 or 13 kilometres from the city. It's just outside what that 10 kilometer radius, but often with a lot of the suburbs that we're covering, we're back in there as well. So we're not in a city as such as that 5K radius, but we're just in that sort of around that 10K bracket, which is I guess where we enjoy transacting the most.
Sure. And you operate a property management side to the business as well, Justin?
Absolutely, yeah. And it is geographically probably pretty much in the same locations and suburbs that we're selling in as well.
Sure.
We're fairly concentrated here. All north side. We have the odd property on the south side for someone with a greater portfolio, but yeah, really our focus is north side at the moment.
Kate, let's switch to you. What does a typical day look like for you as the marketing manager of What Realty?
I guess a large chunk of my time is probably spent looking at our content, because that does absorb a lot of time preparing content pieces, our newsletter, et cetera, for the week ahead, looking at results from our AdWords, SEO, pay-per-click, get my head in Google Analytics, just a lot of work with our partner agencies, so our creative agency, we have an EDM specialist agency, and our digital media agency as well, so... And we're just on the hunt for a PR agency as well.
Wow. Okay. So, well, a big reason I wanted to get you guys on the show was because one of our team members forwarded me an advertisement you had on seek.com recently that really caught my attention. You were looking for someone with journalism experience to join your team to help write content for your property listings and blog articles and social media posts and all that sort of thing. Before we get into what this role looks like in your business, can you help us understand why you created this role in the first place? And what you're striving to achieve as a result? Because it's not a typical position that real estate businesses would generally look for.
No. So I guess we understand with our newsletter that the content that we push out is very important. It has to be quality content. Otherwise, you know, you will start to see churn in your database that we mail out to. And I guess, like I said before as well, it's a massive time commitment. So for me to do the newsletter a week can be 5 to 10 hours. So that's why we needed the help as well. But we wanted someone that could really, I guess, write on target for our demographic too. So finding the writer that we did, who is an ex-career male journalist who lives locally, has been fantastic because she can really, you know, nail the tone of voice that we're looking for in our content pieces.
Great. And what this journalist that you've put on board, what would a typical day look like for them? So what's I guess, the amount of content that they're putting together on a daily, weekly basis, and what are some of the channels that you're amplifying that content through?
Well, she's a contract worker for us, so she writes about 4 articles a week for us. So she's constantly, look what's happening in the market from, I guess, a lot of different perspectives. So across real estate, across finance, is there anything happening locally? Is there any just cool stuff happening in real estate? Because our content is targeted not just people that are buying and selling. It's kind of everyone that's in between as well. So she's, looking for that content and then creating pieces, getting interviews, calling Justin, calling people in the finance sector, et cetera, to help, build credibility throughout our articles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's pushing them to me for review.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'd love to get your perspective on this, Justin, from a business owner's point of view and especially someone with a strong background in sales. I guess when did the penny drop for you that this was a position that would be an advantage to your business? And especially it's not a position that typically a real estate business would employ someone on. So from a salesperson's perspective, what advantages have you seen that this has given to the business?
I guess it probably started when we started to realize that there was a shift in market for us in terms of, we've been offering the same kind of thing from, it's very generic. It's always sales focused and transactional focused. And
you're talking about your business in particular, Justin, or just real estate in general?
We were like that, and real estate in general is very much like that. So, I'll put my hand up and say, look, that's where we were, and that's part of the shift. So what we started to realize is that for us to give value to, the people in our neighborhood in terms of, it had to be all the time and it always had to be giving. So we were really looking to help people without there being a what's in it for me. We wanted to really actually, because I've got so much experience, I guess, on that side, where we see a lot of people have challenges is that you just can't approach agents without them jumping all over you or agencies. And people want the education and want the information, but it's not available.
Mm.
So I guess for us it was about going, well, we've started producing a lot of content, both video and obviously the email outs and all the bits and pieces that we do, and we're getting great responses to that, very high click-through rates, and really going out and seeing people in the market and them saying, oh, we get your weekly updates and we get massive value from it and we really appreciate it. And that was where we sort of realized, well, this is something that is an opportunity for us and obviously just an opportunity for us to actually give something back and try and help people improve their position, whether they choose us or not. At least we know that we're, I guess, giving people some sort of education and some help, which is probably the basis of where we're coming from overall. And obviously employing, specific, even with our copy, we have professional copywriter in-house and also with the journalistic aspect, we wanted to make it fantastic content and really engaging for people to really, I guess, up the ante on the quality. So for us, it was about not only just giving good quality to the clients and the people that are following us, but giving them fantastic, amazing, opportunities to access that information and be educated. So that's where it sort of came from, and that's how it sort of evolved.
And Kate, if we can break it down for our listeners, you were saying that your content writer is putting together roughly about 4 articles per week. What are some of the topics that you're covering? Is it all about real estate? Is it general local community information? Help us understand what type of content that you're putting in those articles.
People always love articles about, where to buy now, where the great deals are, that sort of stuff. They always perform really well in terms of click-through. This week we just did one on, Brisbane made the top 10 most beautiful cities in the world. Which was probably a little bit surprising, but we did an article about that. So just general local, I guess, buying, selling, knowledge stuff. When we do our video content, we find that those crisis moments do really well in terms of views. So anything around deals crashing, problems with building and pest, those kind of things where when people want more of a, you know, help me, I need a bit of an opinion piece, some guidance here, they, those kind of stories do very, very well for us. But I guess it's all in the framing, you know. It's how well you can write a headline to get that click through. Mm. Is what it comes down to.
And with a lot of the content that you're producing, if we can have a look at it, I guess a bit of a bird's eye view of the strategy that you've got in place. These articles are obviously being hosted on your website, and you're then amplifying or promoting that content out through your social channels and email with the view of bringing traffic back to your website at whatrealty.com.au, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So for our listeners who are really syndicating other people's or sharing other people's content on their social media channels and taking them to other websites and other media outlets. What advice would you have for those businesses, or what advantages have you found from employing your strategy as opposed to letting people go to other websites and other media outlets?
Well, I guess it's one of the core objectives of us even doing this in the first place is, obviously it's to drive brand consideration. To continually be in that consideration set, knowing that people drop in and out of the market all the time, but at least we're popping up in their inbox and in their social media feed, so we're always going to be top of mind whenever real estate comes up in the conversation. The other key objective, like you said, is obviously to drive traffic to our website and, you know, to be perfectly honest, our newsletter gets us between 500 to 1,000 unique people to our website each and every week, which is fantastic considering, you know, we're one office in one suburb. I guess what that means as a business, like Justin said, you know, when he's doing appraisals and in market, people are saying, yeah, I get your newsletter, you know. So it ticks the box of consideration, awareness and traffic to the website. And I guess from that we can measure people's journey through our website as well. So, you know, we are very focused on the analytics behind it, so we can see, yes, they're reading the article, are they navigating to, you know, other pages to make inquiries on other services.
And Justin, if I can get your thoughts on this, a lot of salespeople do tend to fall into the trap of getting quite involved in the marketing of the business, which obviously takes them away from, you know, a selling capacity. What advice would you have for other selling principals or salespeople who are really, I guess, spending a lot of time measuring all their marketing analytics and all that sort of thing? You've obviously got a team dedicated to that. How have you found that to be an advantage for you as a selling principal?
Well, I think that it just helps you concentrate doing what I do best, which is selling more property. And I still have an appetite for selling. So it just comes down to, actually, you have to put a team around you if you want to take it seriously. I think it was and education as well. Once I was educated and started to understand how it was working, you have to buy in as a principal as well. You know, you can't necessarily, like I come up with, you know, I think, you know, really good ideas and opportunities that we can put into that section of the business. I guess it's just about identifying your strengths and weaknesses. So if you are a selling principal or a managing principal, that's, you know, essentially what you do well. Doesn't mean that you don't have great ideas or you don't have the ability to contribute, but I think with most things, even internally, we outsource a lot of stuff anyway, or get a team around you that does that, whether it's lawyers or, you know, accountants, all those sort of things. So I look at that division as a separate division and happy to, you know, pass over the information or the ideas that I have and get those functionally happening, and then get the team comes back and reports to me. So I found that I probably manage that through meetings as well. So we have a lot of meetings where we get together and I get to see the numbers, and that's all I really need. I don't need to be physically involved. And I'm not an expert at it either. I have a great understanding of it, but I don't. And I understand what we're trying to achieve, but I don't. It's not something that I'm a specialist in. So for me, I just treat it like any of the other services that we engage.
But I think the important thing to note is too, it helps us get a deeper understanding of how people engage with our brand and how they shop real estate as well. So having all those analytics on our website, we know the male, female ratios on our site, we know the demographic profiles, all that kind of stuff, and we can tailor our selling strategies to suit that too?
Yeah, it definitely gives us an edge on the average real estate company or franchise. We really do have the ability to go to market in a different capacity, and we genuinely do have the ability to, I think, enhance the selling experience for someone and also enhance the customer service experience for the buyers as well, because we're understanding their behavior, not just from a face-to-face perspective, which is what we work on all the time, but we're able to get a read on how they want to be handled and how they want to be managed. And a lot of our internal systems and the way that we run the real estate side of the business are all structured around that behavior. So yeah, it's not, they're separate, but they're the same, I guess. It's all about trying to achieve the same goal.
Well, I think it all comes back to content, right? So if you look at all of the analytics of anyone can access Google Analytics for their website generally and look at all that information. But really what it comes down to, you've got to have the content to bring the people to the website in the first place. And I think something that a lot of your competitors should be very worried about, and a lot of people in real estate businesses around the country should be worried about, guys, is businesses like yours are essentially building a media company within your own, the four walls of your real estate office. And it's certainly something that people are coming to you for that information, and you've then got the analytics to then improve that.
Yeah, definitely. But you have to do it right. If you're going to be pushing content out, particularly through email, you want to make sure you nail the basics. You need to have fully customized templates that render on mobile and tablet devices. I don't see many other real estate companies doing that, and it's so frustrating because the viewing on mobile and tablet outweighs desktop by 2 to 1. So you need to be, I guess, always thinking of that customer experience. And I think where we differ is that it's not all about us. It's all about what's in it for you, for our clients. So you won't see on any of our email marketing attached to our content 1,000 listings, because that's irrelevant. If you're not in the market to buy, then that's irrelevant to you. And that's all about us. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I guess that's our key. And then it's really nailing the basics if you want to do it right. At the end of the day, of course, our goal is that people will come to us first. They don't feel like they need to go to realestate.com. They can come and check out everything on our site first. And, you know, part of our overall marketing strategy will look to include other ways to incentivize people to come to us first.
And if we look at some of the content that you're publishing, really, what are some of the topics that you've covered that have performed the best?
The ones that always perform the best are where to buy right now. The hottest suburbs to buy always outperforms everything else. Easily. And then obviously those crisis moments around, advice on deals crashing, building your pest, all that kind of stuff, that performs very, very well. Anything that's, top 5, top 10 based, quick, snappy, easy to read, easy to digest content, that performs really, really well. But it's all in the framework. You need to be able to nail your headlines if you want people to read it. Otherwise, there's no point doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's really important for everyone listening, Kate, to really take out of what you just said the point that really, it's got to be relevant. Two, it's got to be everything about your customer and really not much about the business. And if you're adding value to people's lives by really answering the questions before they think to ask them, it's establishing you as the trusted authority in the local market, right?
Yeah. Well, I think you just need to have a clear reason for the content that you're putting out there. You can't, if you are committing to doing it on a regular basis, like we do weekly, it can't just be like, oh God, I've got to put something out on Thursday. What am I going to throw in it? You need to be very focused in what you're doing. And again, you don't want to be repetitive as well. So you need to have a variety of themes that you can cover in your content.
I think that's absolutely correct. So you've got to make the commitment first that this is what you're going to do. The second part of that is working out why you're doing it.
Yeah.
But certainly from a real estate business owner's perspective, you've got to make the commitment right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a big commitment. It can be, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week to put it together. But I guess we see the results from that. So it's worth the time and money investment to do it.
No doubt. Well, Kate and Justin, I want to now turn the spotlight onto moments of your career in real estate that have made your business where it is today. We often hear the 20,000 foot view of someone's success in real estate, but here on our podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career of where you felt like you'd failed, maybe a deal that you were working with, a client that you're working with? And Justin, can we start with you?
Sure. So probably the one that that springs to mind is I actually started working for an independent agency as my first agency, and I worked for him for a few years, and then I decided to make a move into another agency for a number of reasons. But yeah, I moved to that agency and I didn't quite comprehend what it was like to move to a startup business as well as, I guess, establish myself in a different location and a different model, I suppose. The agency I was working for at the time was the number one agency in that locality, and then I went to a brand new startup office. So I stuck it out for about 10 or 11 months, and after having great success, like really having great success with the previous company, and I realized very quickly that, you know, it's not always just about what you do, that, you know, there is a greater, there's greater forces external, the office, the location, you know, the brand, that there's a whole heap of facets. And that was probably the one time I actually thought about getting out of the business. At the end of that 10 or 11 month period, I thought, I don't know if I can actually do this. And then I made a move. I got out of there and come back to a different agency, but in a similar capacity, in a similar location, and I was able to get back on track, and obviously the rest is history. And that was probably about 14 years ago. So it's but it's the one that sticks with me because it was really, I was very close to leaving, exiting at that point. That was probably a big turning point. That's probably the major one.
And from a salesperson's perspective, Justin, moving into the role of business owner, it's certainly not something that not every salesperson makes that transition successfully. And certainly what Realty has been around for quite some time now. How have you found what did you find some of the biggest challenges were making that transition from salesperson to business owner?
Well, I think initially I probably made the same decision that everybody makes when they go into business. They think it's because your business owner is rich and he's making more money than everybody. So that was probably the initial. There was another reason as well. I was probably a little bit tired working for the business owners that I had been working for in terms of their philosophies, and there was a lot of very much the same, and not much of that's changed. So a lot of my driver was to actually do something for myself and not complain, not complain about who I was working for, and just go, well, if I'm going to do this, I should do it for myself, and then I've got no one else to blame, you know, if it doesn't work out. So that's how I sort of ended up there. I think the transition that's happened for me is that I've realized that I actually have a strong desire and excitement around growing a brand and actually growing a business, which is very different to growing a real estate agent business, I guess, sure. For better sense of it. So I still obviously am a selling principal, so I still enjoy the transactional side, but I actually set it up as a separate business within the business. So I had my real passion is to grow the brand and to grow this business and to give great value. So I think that's what you have to, if you're going to be successful, I think as a truly successful as a business owner or an independent brand, I think you have to be focused on that, which is a challenge if you're still selling and training and running the sales side of it. But I think if you differentiate and split them up, that's you have to be invested in, because it's definitely not about the money, and it can't be about that side of it. It's definitely not the case once you flip onto the principal side and start taking up the bills. It's just not, it, it just, you can do okay and you can be reasonably successful, but I think really to grow it properly, you have to be really invested in that part of it, not the real estate commissional side.
Well, with Kate sitting next to you, Justin, I have a question for you. Really, how do you guys find, I guess, that elusive semblance of balance between, you know, family life and now running your own business?
Well, it's a juggle more than a balance. You know, it really is. It's I guess it's about having some guidelines, I guess, about how you structure yourself outside of work and inside of work. Right. I guess it's about being clear on who's doing what, and I guess delegating those responsibilities. And then if it's starting to impact too greatly on our lives, I guess, our family life and even our business or working day or life, that's where we go for the outsource or try and find a true professional. So I guess once we get to a point where we're like, this is really impacting on us, that's probably the catalyst and the indicator for us to look for that professional to bring into the team. And that's how we've pretty much ended up with the different departments and different professionals doing the different components within the business. And that's filtered through actually into the sales side. So our back end of our business runs very differently and has a lot of different functions that you wouldn't normally find in a generic real estate office or the ones that I've been a part of anyway. So it's, it's sort of evolved into something quite cool. You know, I have the same challenges that everyone has, you know, with the balance. But I think that, you know, knowing when it's time to roll over and hand it over and spend the money is probably the major key.
No doubt. And, well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment throughout the journey of What Realty, where you felt like the formula you guys had in place was the right way about growing a real estate business? And, again, take us there with you. Was there a particular client that you were working with at the time, a particular deal, and what was going through your mind and how did that make you feel?
Probably. There's probably nothing around an actual deal that was a turning point. I think it was probably more around getting clear as a brand or becoming a brand, you know, because, you know, in our perception of the real estate business is that we're all, you know, the industry is pretty much the same, different name on the door, but essentially the same kind of rehashed version of it. So I think the big turning point for us was probably more as a business where we realized, well, you know, we've got a genuine brand that people are connecting with, and that we do have something that we can offer as a brand, regardless of what we do, you know, functionally as a business. and I guess it was the point where we realized that we had something, but we just had to be able to articulate and understand the direction that we're going to take that business. Or that branding sort of strategy. And I think actually just identifying a position in market as opposed to just being the same or offering the same offering. So really that's probably been the big turning point, and probably the most exciting part was actually evolving into something that wasn't the same as, you know, what you get from our industry. So that was cool. And I guess the benefits for that was that we you know, it's really helped to strengthen the business internally, and obviously externally, we've attracted a lot of competition, a lot of attention from competitors and clients alike. And the other great thing was, I think it's helped us identify a real culture. And I think people talk about culture all the time, but I really don't think, and I know that they do, and I know that the other brands do, but I think they don't have a culture, like they don't genuinely have a culture fit. They talk about it a lot, and I think unless you go through that evolution of actually identifying who you are in market, how the clients are responding, actually having some value, and then going, well, now it's made it a lot easier for us to figure out internally who's a fit and who's not a fit, and that then transfers through to culture. So it's been interesting that it started with one thing and it's really transferred through to the whole business overall, and it's touched every facet, both internally and externally. So that's probably the one major, achievement, or fantastic thing for us.
Sure. Well, a big part of branding is obviously the marketing component side of things. Branding is certainly it's misunderstood by business owners around all over the place. But the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces when marketing their brand is either creating awareness of the brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy from their current clients. Kate, can I get you to give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies around solving some of these challenges?
Yeah, well, I guess what we really try to do is buck the trend, you know. Like Justin said before, we find that everyone in market is just doing the same old stuff, you know. They've got a photo on a bus shelter. They're just listed, just sold things popping in everyone's letterboxes 8 times a week. They've got their logo on a school fate flyer, and that's kind of what they're doing, but they don't really have a reason for doing it. I guess for us, our main philosophy is to make sure that we have a reason for everything that we do. And we take, I guess anything that we do has to have a purpose, it has to have a role, and it has to have a contextual fit. And it has to tick 2 of 4 boxes for us. So it needs to drive consideration and or awareness. It needs to build our database. And it needs to be measurable and have some sort of opportunity for engagement. And that's kind of our checklist for anything that plays into our marketing strategy. When it does come to our marketing strategy, it's obviously very digitally focused. Digital's really taken over that real estate economy, and it's become like a core part of how we do business. So for us, it just makes sense to play in that space from a marketing point of view.
Can I just ask you on that point, Kate, around, I guess, the ratio of print versus digital, and I guess just from a bird's eye view of, what that split looks like in your business, whether it's, if we just focus on things like letterbox drops and, flyers and all that sort of, you don't do any letterbox drops or anything like that. Okay.
No.
So that's certainly something that a lot of listeners are still doing. What is your, strategy around, the reasons why you got rid of that and shifted more towards digital?
I mean, I guess coming from my more mainstream marketing background, I know letterbox drops, if you have an offer on a piece of direct mail, you're probably looking at a conversion rate, if it's a great offer, of 0.1%. So it just doesn't work. And I can look at the stuff that we do with AdWords, with SEO, with pay-per-click, and I can see our views on that are much higher. Because, I mean, that's just a response rate on DM. That's not someone actually taking up the offer. So, and I guess it's not really offering anything. It's just a branding piece. You're saying, oh, I just listed this home. Well, that's great. You did your job. That's really lovely. It's not actually offering anything to the consumer.
Well, I think it comes back to why we do it. And I think that the reason that the great industry does it is because everybody else does it. That's all. I don't think that they've really sat down and thought about why they're doing it and what they're trying to achieve. And I guess when you sit down with that objective, you wouldn't do it.
Mm. No, I certainly think you guys definitely fall into this category. You come from a position of power in any business when you have data and analytics to back you up. And I certainly think that's real estate by natural attrition is a people business, right? So the amount of data that you can collect through social, through your website, collating all that in one place gives you insights that not every business can get. And certainly when it's a hyper-local business like real estate, certainly social media provides you that power as well from a much more micro level. Kate, can I get your thoughts on social media and real estate and maybe some of your philosophies around that and how that looks at What Realty?
Yeah, we do embrace social media. We probably do it a little bit differently to how everybody else does it. I see a lot of people in the category just posting stuff like, I just listed a house, I just sold a house. It's really boring. It's not engaging content. So when we do social media, it's stuff that I would read, you know. What would I click on? That's the question that I'm always asking myself when I'm looking at a social media post. Is this going to engage somebody? What's in it for them? You can push content, but you have to make sure, again, you're crossing lots of different things. You know, you can show funny, quirky stuff that's in real estate if that's compatible with your brand tone. It opens you up to getting, feedback as well that you may or may not like. in that space too. So you need to be open to be able to handle that as well.
Well, thanks for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the 2015 Social Media Trends Report by SMK. It found that Instagram has shown to deliver brands 58 times more engagement per follower than Facebook. I think it's a timely reminder to consider your social media strategy for the remainder of 2015 and where your clients and prospects might be spending their time online. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. So Kate and Justin, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Okay, so for me, it's Peter Gilchrist. He's my real estate coach.
Fantastic.
And I've been with Pete since about 2000. And the reason for it is that, you know, as a coach and now a friend, he's very no-nonsense, cut-to-the-chase approach has really suited what I've needed to get the best results out of myself. So for me, he's probably been the number one, I guess, influence in terms of helping me get to where I've got to.
Now, I know Peter's focus on branding, and I actually caught his presentation at the Ideas Exchange last year in Sydney. I don't know if you guys were at that, but certainly the topic of that presentation, I do recall, was very much around branding, which is obviously something that's very much rubbed off at What Realty as well. Well, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
I'm still playing rugby, so... Even though I probably should have retired, I'm still on the field, so I really enjoy that. Just gives me that opportunity to, I guess, get out of my life for a little while and just go and concentrate on self-preservation.
And what about yourself, Kate? You're obviously actively involved in the business as well. What's your favourite thing to do when you're not at the office?
I do love my travel, but something that's probably a little bit easier is probably yoga. I love. Find my Zen.
Fantastic. What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
There's a book, it's probably more recent. It's Start With Why. It's Simon Sinek. Mm. I don't know if you know the book.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that probably had the, I guess, a big impact on me just because it's timely in terms of the place that I'm at the moment. And I guess, you know, it's probably helped shift my thinking and I guess, you know, help us, I guess, go down the strategy and I guess evolve and have some of that innovation that we're having at the moment. And it was really cool just to get clear on I guess, why we were doing it. It wasn't an angle that I'd taken before. So, yeah, so that's probably the most impactful book I've read, you know, in business recently.
And I'm keen to hear your thoughts, Kate, from a marketer's perspective. Is there a book that stands out in your opinion as something that's had an impact on your career as a marketing professional?
Probably the one, I'm not sure if I get the title right, but Blue Ocean Strategy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read that one. When I transitioned from media agency into media sales, that was handed to me and it just helped me get sales. How to compete in a completely different space, and it's probably something that we have adopted as a business with What Realty as well, is how to, you know, stop playing where everyone else is playing and really, I guess, I don't know, for lack of a better term, just to play in that blue ocean space there.
So, Justin, I might start with you on this question. What is your favourite technology or online resource you use at What Realty to help you run a better business?
Well, this will probably sound a little bit generalized, but it probably is the major for us. It's the it's our CRM, so it's our database. And I guess it's probably not just about that, because I think everyone has a database or uses the term CRM. We hear it bandied around all the time, but I think it really comes down to the systems and the way that you use it, the way that we use it especially, and actually using it to its full capacity, you know, both from a digital perspective and also from an internal perspective. So really our business is largely centered around that CRM now. Everything, absolutely 100% of everything goes into that database, and there's systems and processes as to where it goes to from there, and that stuff gets handled internally, not left up to the salespeople. And then obviously on a digital sense and a marketing sense, it's imperative that we get that data and that information in as well. But it's really just about management. So, yeah, so the CRM, I just want to put some context around it, because me just saying the CRM is not going to have any real value for anyone unless I explain that you really have to get your hands dirty and come up with – and there's a fair bit of work in really committing to driving that properly.
Well, I think it's important just to put add to what you're saying, Justin. Roughly, on average, across the country, 3% of cold prospects would end up becoming a potential appraisal in a real estate business. That's pretty average in every real estate business around the country. So 3% would generally convert from that cold prospect into an appraisal. The problem is that 97% of people just fall out the bottom, and they don't get stored anywhere. They don't fall into a lead nurturing or relationship building mechanism. And I think certainly the context that you've just added around the use of your CRM certainly captures that other 97%. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, guys, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
It's actually pretty simple for us. It's really just consistency of the activities that work, that get the results. Wherever we see, I guess, success or failure is always around that consistency, whether it's the activity or the messaging or a combination of those. The people that are the most consistent and the agencies are the most consistent across the board will, that have the best disciplines, the best structure, the best sense of themselves are the ones that, that's probably my best advice. Even if it's a small amount of guaranteed, to-dos or activities each day that you just don't falter on, it compounds. It's like compounding interest. So it pays dividends over the time.
From a marketer's perspective, Kate, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on and your advice for business owners who are listening to some of the great things that you guys are doing in the marketing arena and how measurable a lot of your marketing initiatives are. What advice do you have for business owners and salespeople, property managers, and really everyone in a real estate business when it comes to marketing?
My advice is just, in essence, to have a reason for everything that you do. It's absolutely critical. You should know what the objectives and what the role of each piece of marketing collateral that you're putting out in market is. And my other piece of advice is to always think about the what's in it for me, putting yourself in the consumer or your client's point of view. So everything needs to be consumer first. That's my advice.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Kate and Justin have shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/whatrealty, spelt WAttReality. Well, Kate and Justin, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Well, they can just ring us or they can email us or they can check out our website, I guess. So,
and for our listeners, what's your website, Justin?
It's just www.whatrealty.com.au.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews. So please head over to iTunes right now and tell us how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve, because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.